International break is finally over and we are back to club football. There's some massive games coming up this weekend and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Gareth Southgate's decision to bring back Ivan Toney and whether he'll make the squad for the Euros and what's going to happen at the bottom end of the table. There's so much to play for as we are finally in the run-in and Sky Sports have done an incredible advert to promote the final few games in the Premier League season. This is One Kick from Glory and it's me and Craig here today.
Yeah.
And we're going to start off with the England internationals. Lots happening, lots to talk about with that. For you, Craig, how did you view this international break?
I didn't want it to happen. Arsenal were in a good momentum and good form. I wanted to just like skip it. But I think it was good that the international break as well because it gives Southgate a chance to look at some of the players that it could potentially go to the Euros. Like some players had an A-plus, done well. Like Kobe Mainoo did well. Toney did very well yesterday, scoring a penalty in a pressure moment. And there's some players that didn't do very well. Like Lewis Dunk had a stinker yesterday. Yeah, made a mistake. Jordan Pickford looked off the ball, gave away two goals yesterday. Not his normal self. He brought his Everton form into it yesterday. Still an issue at right back at the moment. I'll say Kyle Walker's injured. Trent is injured. There's still shortage of centre-backs as well. And left-back is a big problem as well because Chilwell didn't do well in both games. Looked very shaky. So I think England need to look again and see who they can go. But some players who've done well, like Mainoo, Bellingham did very well in the both games. Declan Rice, as always. Jared Bowen played well yesterday, very lively. He's a good backup for Saka. Toney could be a backup striker to Harry Kane, I would say. I think he's done more in the two games than what Ollie Watkins did in the two games that he was given opportunity to do, to be honest. He looked more threatening. There's still question marks over the left, over Phil Foden as well in the England team. Like, where's his best position? I personally feel he should play as a number 10
in the Foden. England
team. I think he should play as a number 10 and just drop Bellingham back as a number 8 or something like that. Have Declan Rice as a number 4, have Bellingham as a number 6, and have Foden as a number 10. Have Saka on the right, Kane through the middle. Then you can either have either Rashford, Gordon, or whoever gets picked for that left wing position. I don't know I remember watching Phil Foden a couple of years ago playing under 21s tournament, and he plays a number 10, and he got the ball from the middle of the midfield, did a jinky run, went past like 5 or 6 players and scored a world class goal. So I thought he's got that potential. He could be that David Silva role David Silva did at Man City a couple of seasons. I think he's got the ability to do that. I'd love to see like Pep as well give him a chance in the number 10 role. Not against us on Sunday, but
of course not. No.
But like in the future, he's got the ability to play as a number 10. He's got all the attributes to be a number 10.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for Southgate with what he does. Obviously, we know Bellingham from his time in Dortmund, he did play a bit deeper with the license to roam. And I think when he's been at Real Madrid, people have been a bit confused as to like what his role is because he has been appearing in a lot more attacking positions and people think he's more of a number 10. But actually, from the beginning of the season, he's more of like a box-to-box 8. Mm. It's just that as the season's progressed with his goal scoring, he's been staying high up the pitch. So for the national team, you know, there's definitely scope for him to play as a box-to-box player. Or a bit higher up. The other issue you have is if you are going to play like a system of a number 10, then the arguments would say, well, why can't Maddison start in that position? Because, you know, there's a good shout for him to be in that role over someone like Foden, who I think can come off the wings and play comfortably there because he's done it before. Mm. For Man City, he doesn't always play through the middle. He very rarely plays through the middle. But when he does, he plays well.
Yeah.
I guess that's the big question now for Southgate is what does he decide to do? Like, what would you do when you look at the choices for that number 10 spot? You know, you're looking at potentially, you know, Foden, you've got Maddison, you've got Bellingham. You've also got the option as well, which they could do in some games, of dropping Kane deeper and he could occupy that space and have someone else up front, like a Watkins or even a Toney or someone else. But what would you do with those options? How would you go for it?
I would go for it like whoever's in top form. Obviously, Foden has to start in the Euros. He can't be on the bench. He has to start.
Should start. Yeah.
Because he's had a great season. But the thing is, he hasn't really shown his Man City form in the England shirt yet. That's the only issue I've got. Everything else is a quality player, don't get me wrong, but he hasn't shown his Man City form. I don't know if it's because maybe it's a different manager, different system, or...
I love how you said maybe it's a different manager. Like, we all know everyone struggles under Southgate. I don't think anyone's really thriving in that sense?
Yeah.
And I think that's a big question as well to come, we'll come on to. But yeah, it's hard to bring your club form to national team. Unless you're Bukayo, then it's just
I'll say you could, yeah, you're right. You could drop Ken to number 10 and play Tony, or you could play Watkins, whoever he brings to the Euros. Between him, Madison and Bellingham for the number 10 role, I would say.
Which one would you start? First game of the Euros, who are you starting? In fact, what would be your England starting 11 first game of the Euros? Because there's been a lot of discussion and debate about it this week. I know BBC Sport have done their own different 11s. I've been quite intrigued to see who they've picked in the midfield three. So who would be your starting 11?
Pickford in goal is the number one. Right back, Kyle Walker. That's no, you know what I mean? Centre back, it would have to be Maguire and Stones. Mm-hmm. Left back, if Luke Shaw's not fit, I'm going to throw a spanner in the wet, so I'll play Joe Gomez there.
Okay.
Because I think Chilwell's not been in good form. Doesn't it look very shaky? I'll put Joe Gomez there. So it'd be like three at the back and then have Kyle Walker bombing forward and have them three just holding back. In midfield, Declan Rice is number six with Bellingham and... I don't think Calvin Phillips wasn't even in the squad this time. Is he going to get picked?
Probably. He'll make it.
I'll put Bellingham, Rice and...
Because it gets tricky.
Bellingham, Rice and Foden. I'll put Foden in that midline number 10 role.
And then your front three.
I'm a front three. Saka, Kane. Do you know who I was starting in the Euros? Anthony Gordon.
He's the left.
He's played well this season. I think he's done... He's really... When he first came from Everton to Newcastle last season, I didn't see all the hype was about. But this season, he's just turned his whole... The man, obviously, he's working hard over the summer and listened to the manager said and whatever. He's a different player now. So he either him, I'll either start him or the guy, who else? I don't know if Grealish is going to be fit for the Euros.
Yeah, I think he'll probably make it. Whether he'll be fit enough to start is another thing.
But I think I'll definitely start Gordon. I wouldn't start Rashford because Rashford's form has not been very good, but Gordon will have to start. Gordon or Cole Palmer. Cole Palmer could be an impact sub. Off the bench and can do something.
Anthony Gordon to start off the wing. That's a good shout.
Or even Jared Bowen could start as well.
Bowen's a really good shout. It's interesting though when you mentioned about like starting Gomez, you could have like a back three. It then makes me stop and think. Well, we know that Kyle Walker has played centre back for England in the past.
Mm.
He's played there for Man City, sort of in some of the Champions League games last season.
Yeah.
It begs the question then: why not have a back four or a back four / back three, which would have Stones, Maguire and Walker and then Trent outside of them.
I didn't forget about Trent because I like Trent in the midfield role. I feel like when he plays right back, I think he's so good going forward. Defensively, he's not that great. Defending wise, not that great. So I think like if you're playing against like Germany or France, when you got Mbappe, I would rather have Kyle Walker on that right hand side to deal with Mbappe than having a Trent Alexander-Arnold dealing with an Mbappe, to be honest with you.
I can see that, but then you know at the end of the day, both players are great and they both won a Champions League. But for me, when I think about it, in tournament football, you need players that can make a key difference. Like we all know, for club football, for example, Pogba's deficiencies on the ball, and how you know if you press him a certain way, or if he gets too overexcited, you know you can get a bit too, his ball rolls might not work out. You can kind of pressure him and get him to lose the ball, but at the same time, he can make anything in an instant. And with Trent, it's the same. Like if you have him in that team, you know if you're like Kane, not even Kane, if you're Bowen, if you're Saka, and you're playing on the wings, and you see Trent's got the ball in midfield, you're going to just move. Even if you're Kane, you're going to start moving because you know that ball can come. Bellingham would be making so many third man runs, knowing okay, if Trent's got it, he can drop it in behind himself, or he might just loft it up to Kane. Kane gets a little flick on, I'm in business. So I think that's the thing where I think Southgate needs to find a way to incorporate him into the team. Definitely. It might make things a bit lopsided. But if you're saying like, okay, you'd put Joe Gomez left back because Chilwell's form's a bit hit and miss, Trippier, we're not sure about fitness-wise, and same with Luke Shaw, then for me it's like, well, if you're going to go Joe Gomez, I'd definitely start Trent. And then I'll just, if it's going to be a hybrid back three, I'd even have Kyle Walker as the left-sided player.
Mm.
so that we're in attack, in offense, we're shuffling to a back three, and then off the ball, it's back into a back four.
So you do it like how Guardiola and Arteta's done at Arsenal, having with Shevchenko, having played
inverted, that's what I'd do. And in fact, I'd give both of them license. So I'd say, you know, if the Wolves attack down the left hand side, Kyle, you can invert, make things happen or overlap. And if it's coming from the right hand side, I'll say to Trent, no, do your thing. But you'd create a platform for them. So then that's why the midfield partnership is going to be quite key. So having Rice there, having him a bit deeper, just to kind of create that connection with the centre-back, so that when they get the ball, they can give it to Rice, he can then give it to Trent, and then we can get things moving. So
the reason why I didn't put Trent in the squad of the team, because I thought that he's been injured for a while now. He had an injury, he came back, and gone back out again. So I didn't know how fit he's going to be for the Euro. That's why I didn't pick him. He would have been my number one pick to fit, but because he's been injured. But then I have, when he comes back, what form is going to be in. But if he's fit, you take him.
100%. And I guess that is a big thing about his form. Like, we don't know how he's going to be. But that's the challenge for the manager, to get the best out of the team and pick the best players.
Mm.
And speaking of the manager, obviously, you know, I saw the clips of how he was celebrating the equaliser for, you know, we scored against Belgium. And I think there's been a lot of question marks about Gareth Southgate. So rumours linking him to Man United. And like I said in the previous podcast with Matthew, by all means, make it happen. I think that's a match made in heaven. It'll be great. I think it will be the best decision.
Yeah.
But there is this question about performance and how well the national team have achieved. And when you think about the job that he had when he took over, and even the FA's own kind of objective, which is for us to win a trophy by 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, we've kind of failed that already. But, you know, he's got a chance this summer to kind of get over the hurdle. But looking at their own objective of, we need to win a tournament by within 10 years, when they said it, I think almost, I think 10 years ago now, maybe 11 years ago now. And you think about, you know, the tournaments we've had, the Nations League, how we lost it, the World Cup, how we got knocked out against France, the Euro Championship final at Wembley, at home, and we were 1-0 up, and we just didn't have any other attacking threat.
Yeah.
And then we lost it on penalties. And you think about how, and actually Rory, who's a podcaster, creative YouTuber guy, he made a very good point on the podcast episode. He's talking about Southgate. Every time we faced a team in the top 20, I think he said top 20 ranks in the world, we don't do well.
Yeah.
We barely beat them. We usually draw or lose.
Yeah.
And that's a massive indictment against Southgate's reign at England. And you sit back and think, and I think about that World Cup run, we looked good until we faced a tough team. But and then we had no answers.
But like the 2018 World Cup, we lost against, was it Croatia?
Croatia knocked us out.
Yeah.
But the toughest, you know, when we started playing big boys, we just couldn't match them. But yeah, we've got the players that can. And I just, the question I say is like, what do you think happens now? Do you think they should stick with him because of what the progression England have gone on? And we have progressed. You know, he's gotten us to finals. He's getting us to these tournaments. He's getting us to quarterfinals, semifinals, finals. But we just haven't gotten over the hurdle. Do you think they should keep him? Or do you think they should look at it and say, you know what, Southgate, you've done a great job getting us this far, but we want to give someone else a chance now because we have these players. And you think Kane, this, he might only have two more tournaments left in him. And you want to maximise, you know, that.
Yeah.
What would you do?
I think if it doesn't do well in this tournament, I think I just have to say to him, you know what, time to thank you for your help, thank you for your service, it's time to go. Because I feel like the same for Arsenal and Arteta as well. A lot of people are saying about Arteta, if he doesn't win anything this season, give him another season, or would he give him another contract again? But I think the thing is with Gareth Southgate, England have got a great squad. We've got great players. Like, we've got so many good... The only thing that we're very short on, I would say, is centre-forwards. Everything else, we've got right-backs, we've got a lot of right-backs coming through, a lot of left-wingers, a lot of centre-mids, a lot of all these new players, goalkeepers, all that coming through. I think centre-back and centre-forward is the only position at the moment England are struggling with players in position, and left-back. Other from that, right back, they've got so many. You got Reece James, you got Trent, you got Kyle Walker, you got Trippier. Left back, you only got Luke Shaw and Chilwell. You haven't got anyone coming through, knocking on the door saying, I want to take the left back position. Centre mid, you got Declan Rice, you got Foden, you got Mainoo, you got so many good young midfielders coming through. Left wing, you got Anthony Gordon, you got Cole Palmer, you can play there. You got Sterling, if he gets fit again. On the right wing, you got Saka, you got Foden, you can play there. You got Jared Bowen, you can play strikers. You got like Ivan Toney, Ollie Watkins. You got Harry Kane. You got another striker for Newcastle.
Callum Wilson.
That's the only one. And you got Dominic Solanke. Should be knocking on the door now.
You got Eddie Nketiah as well.
Eddie Nketiah, yeah, but option. he needs to step up if he wants to get into the team again. You even got Smith Rowe, if he can get his form back again. You've got a lot of English players, a lot of talented English players out there who are coming through now. So I feel like if England don't do well in this Euros, I think they will do well, but I think he has to win it so if they stay in the job.
Do you think England will win it the way how Southgate has managed these last internationals, or do you think there'll have to be some sort of tactical switch up?
He has to do a tactical switch up. Maybe he has to play like how England play in the Premier League, how English first play in the Premier League. Go for the kill, win the game, beat teams. A bit like how Arsenal done in the second. Like, remember Arteta at the start of the season, we're playing with the handbrake on in games. Like, we're not winning. We're go for a cheeky 1-0 or 2-0. And then after the Dubai trip, we started beating teams 6 or 7-0. I think Gary Southgate needs to let the handbrake off. Because he's a very defensive coach. That's the thing. Like, that's the only issue I have with him. He's very I know he's a defender. I think, like, if you look at, like, teams like Brazil and, like, not so much Brazil, I'll say, like, France, how the manager's got sold these A-star players and they know how to go and win games.
But the thing with France is, in a way, like, Deschamps is also a defensive-minded coach. Like, so they're not too dissimilar. The only difference is when it comes down to how France are structurally playing, how they build up. And I look at France, I look at Arsenal.
Yeah.
And there are, like, there are things you can pick up in what they do where they're not similar, but there's ideas where you can see it's consistent. So, you know, France's football is based on a solid defence. Now, we can argue about the defenders because, obviously, Upamecano for club level was shockingly poor most of the time. Varane is in and out of form. Pavard sometimes can be a bit lapsed. Obviously, he's a big fan of Konate, so Saliba doesn't really make it in. But they have a defensive structure and they have a midfield structure that of players that are, you've got technical brilliance and you've got hard workers. So you've got Rabiot, you've got Tchouaméni in there. Camavinga has to play left back sometimes because his midfield is so stacked. You've got players like Fofana can come in. And obviously then you've got ahead of that, you've got Griezmann, you've got Giroud, you've got Mbappe, you've got Dembele, you've got Koeman, you've got
Suram.
You've got so many options on the offensive side.
Yeah.
But all of that is unlocked by what's behind them. And players like Griezmann, who's got the freedom to just move wherever and make things happen if things aren't working. Whereas I think with Southgate, the defensive structure, you can say, okay, that's good, but it's the rest of it. We've got so many creative players, like, unlock them, give them freedom. I always think back to that World Cup, like, no, Euros against Italy. We went 1-0 up. Chiellini, I've never seen Chiellini look so shell-shocked in a match because he didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
He thought, okay, Kane's up front. He's going to be up, you know, he's going to be up, coming back and into me high up. I'm going to just, you know, knock into him all day. Chiellini and Barzagli for at least the first 20 minutes were just kind of like, what do we do? Because Kane is just dropping off them into midfield to pick the ball up from deep. And then Raheem Sterling was running off Kane and off those middle positions. Sometimes you get the ball and drive with it and they couldn't cope. But what did we do as a team? We didn't just keep hitting them with that. And I think if we kept going, we could have got a second goal. When the game changed is when Chiesa was like, you know what, I got to try something here. He got the ball, went on a run, forced us all the way back. And that's when Chiellini was like, okay, let's start moving forward. And the back line started going higher and higher to the point when the back line was sat on the D of the centre circle. That's how high up they went.
Yeah.
Because we weren't offering any threat the other way. And then that's when the game momentum changed. So, yeah, I think that Southgate has the right idea in terms of having defensive solidity, but we have to add in the creative flair. We've got too many good players not to utilise them. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what goes. Who do you think will make up that final squad for England going to the Euros? Who do you think he'll take as, like, his main strikers? Because obviously defence, we know it's going to be down to injuries and fitness, but who will make the front, the strike force that will go?
Do you think it'll be in three strikers or in two?
I think because of injuries, he'll probably go for three.
I think Watkins, if his form continues, and I think Tony will be the first striker.
Yeah, I can see that being the case.
On standby list, I would say maybe Solanke, if he continues scoring, and Callum Wilson. I think Callum Wilson's out for the rest of the season. I think he's out for a while.
So Wilson won't be in there. Unless comes back fit.
Yeah.
Standby list maybe. But yeah, I think those two will be fair. And we'll see how it goes. But yeah, obviously we've got big games coming up this weekend. We have the massive clash at the top of the table. We've got some big ones at the bottom of the table too. Let's talk about one of those games, which I think could be very seismic. Bournemouth play Everton on Saturday.
Yeah.
Bournemouth are in 13th place on 35 points. Everton are in 16th place on 25 points. Obviously, Everton are still awaiting the final verdict on their second part of their financial fair play stuff, so they might get dragged into that. What are you thinking the outcome's going to be in that game?
Everton need a win. They haven't won for a while. They need a win badly just to keep... If they lose points, then they can kind of back... That point can kind of give them that leverage. So I think Everton need that win. But Bournemouth have been in good form this season. Their manager had a slow start to the season, lost a couple of the games, but he's turned it around. And Solanke's been their main man this season. And Semedo has been their best, one of their top creators in the league and scored some crucial goals. So I would say, I think it's going to be a draw.
Sure. Well, Everton's last five games, they've lost three, drawn two.
Mm.
And Bournemouth's last five is they've won two, lost one and drawn two. So it's right for Everton to turn things around, but they can't afford to lose that game because I know the guys below them will be pushing very hard.
Yeah.
One of the other games we've got coming up as well at the weekend, Nottingham Forest against Crystal Palace. Nottingham Forest are in the bottom three. Crystal Palace are in 14th on 29 points. So relatively safe right now, but you know, the Premier League, it can change really quickly.
Mm.
How do you see that game going? And just going through their form. So they both have similar form. So both have one win in five. Nottingham Forest have three losses and a draw, and Crystal Palace have two draws and two losses.
I fancy Crystal Palace, you know. I think Nottingham Forest form has been shocking. They got good. I don't understand the Nottingham Forest, honestly. They've got good players, but they're struggling. I don't get it.
The biggest issue is that they can't pick a consistent starting goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So, like, they had Matt Turner, they flickered through a few different options. They haven't really sorted out the back line. They don't know who they really trust back there.
Mm.
So, when you don't have a settled goalkeeper, it all kind of falls apart from there. And they've had injuries, they've had suspension. And they've been unlucky. In a lot of these games, it's been narrow margins that's cost them victory.
Like Liverpool game, they should have drawn that. Yep. That should have been a draw. The game that they drew against Luton. So, Luton played recently, wasn't it? It was Luton if they drew 1-1.
Or they Luton at away, 1-1.
I think their best defender... While I've been looking at this, is that Brazilian guy, Morello. He's our best defender.
Yeah.
And I think that he needs to play every game. I don't know who can play next to him. They've been chopping and changing all season. I think the guy that used to play for Wolves, what's his name again? Guy played for Wolves and he plays for Nottingham Forest now. Black guy, what's his name?
Willie Bolly.
Willie Bolly.
Yeah.
I think them two would be solid together. And then, because they've been changing their defence all season. And I think their goal scoring has been, they haven't been scoring a lot of goals either. I think Gibbs White is a good creator. They've got a good midfield. It's between Chris Wood and the Nigerian striker.
Taiwo Awoniyi.
He gave the ball away against Liverpool for them to score, I remember.
Yeah.
And I feel that he did well last season and this season he's been injured. So. And Chris Wood was in good form before he got his injury. He's back now. But I think Nottingham Forest have to start winning their game if they want to stay up. If not, they go back to the Championship. If they get relegated this season, I honestly don't think they'll come back up for a while, you know. I honestly think so because they're going to be in a lot of financial... They're going to be in a lot of financial issues. They're going to have to sort all their best players. They're going to have to start again from scratch. So they need to stay up this season.
Yeah, it's going to be tough if they don't make it. Obviously, if they do go down, Morgan Gibbs-White, the carpet, I would not be against that. And then looking at another, the last two teams in the bottom three, Chelsea of Burnley at Stamford Bridge coming up. How do you see that one going?
I think Chelsea will win that. Well, they have to win that.
Yeah, Chelsea needs to. I mean, it's funny with Chelsea, like, no matter what they do, they're just still languishing around 10th and 11th.
Mm.
They're in 11th on 39 points. And also when you think about the possibility of making it into Europe, obviously they've got the FA Cup as well to look forward to, but this is a good chance for them to kind of start getting their league form into gear. And they've got two games in hand.
Yeah.
So this might be a chance, you know.
What's the next game?
After that.
It's another game after the Chelsea Burnley game.
Yeah, and after Chelsea Burnley, the last kicked team at the bottom is Luton. They've got Spurs away from home. So it's going to be at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
I'm not going to lie to you. I like Luton. I love Luton. I love how they come to the Premier League. They're not scared of no one. They go and score goals. And they've conceded so many goals this season. If they can tie up their defence, but I do fancy Tottenham to beat them, you know.
That's the issue because Tottenham have Champions League in sight and they are currently 3 points behind Aston Villa.
Mm.
Tottenham lost their last game. Luton won their last game. So, like, you know, form, anything can happen. But it's just one of those games. I mean, Tottenham just, you know, they just conceded a lot of goals for me. They don't really seem that secure. And they get goals and they play well-ish, but it doesn't feel sustainable. Luton have just been brutally unlucky and very naive in a lot of their games. Like they should have drawn the other game, one of the games they lost recently.
Yeah, the Bournemouth game.
They should have won that, to be fair, being 3-0 up at half time. But you know, Bournemouth made history. So they've got a lot to learn from that, and we'll see if they can pick up those lessons. Before we talk about Arsenal, let's talk first about Liverpool. They have Brighton at home, first game up on Sunday. Big game. As we kind of get close to wrapping up the title, how do you see that one going? Do you think Liverpool will be able to pick up 3 points, or do you think Brighton might have something for them?
I think Brighton might have. I know Brighton have got a lot of injuries, but I think Brighton could do them something. It could be a draw, you know. I think it could be a 2-2 draw. In the first half, Liverpool got a lot of injuries. Robertson's going to be injured again on international duty. McAllister's come back from Argentina, so I don't know what kind of how condition he'll be in from international break. They've got a lot of players who are out injured. I don't know if Trent is back. So Darwin Nunes as well. We don't know. It depends what Liverpool turns up. But at home, Liverpool are strong. They're very strong at home. So
that's true.
And I think Brighton have got a couple of boys that wanna, you know what I mean, prove something to them. And deserve these on like trial at Liverpool to see if he's gonna take over in the summer. So
also that
it could be an audition for him to see what he can do. So
and then also you think Lewis Dunk, with the performance he had for England in midweek, he would want to show at the weekend that look, that was just a blip and he's all right. Mm. I mean, you know, that's twice now he's been spun up by Lukaku this season. He's not gonna wanna have another repeat of that from a different striker. Definitely. So I think he'll be up for it and we'll see how he performs. Let's talk about our game.
Mm.
At the Etihad.
Mm.
Blockbuster match. I don't want to say winner takes all, but it kind of feels a little bit like it.
Definitely.
It's, you know, like between us and Man City, there's 10 games left in the season.
Yeah.
To wrap it all up. How are you feeling about it?
Well, I've been checking Sky Sports News. I've been checking all the news on my phone to make sure no Arsenal players injured before the game. I've been checking. I'll check the in-game list. I said, it's second match, all right? It was all right. I said, all the Arsenal players are fit. I see a couple of their players are injured, like Akanji's injured, Stones is injured.
Carl Walker's injured,
but I think they'll play. But you never know, they might not be fit, 100% fit. They might play, start the game, and they might pull off or something. So you only can hope. I thought Arsenal drew a win at City. It's been a long time. The last time we beat them was when Cazorla and Giroud scored. That's so long ago.
Yeah.
So we need to go there and just be fearless. Hopefully Martinelli's fit. I think Martinelli's the difference in that wing. We need Martinelli to be in that starting in that game.
I'd have him off the bench, you know, just would like at the Emirates. I think coming on later on, they're a bit tired. He can have a go at them. You either start Trossard or you start Nelson.
Nelson's hardly started this season.
I know, but remember last season when he came off the bench?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the game was pretty much done. They battered us. But like, he came off and he had something. I was watching and I was so impressed by how direct he was playing, how he was dribbling at them. I think Nelson, from the start, could be something.
Mm. Yeah, Nelson or Trossard should start in that game. I think Nelson should get a start soon. I think definitely, if you start him in that game, you could take on whoever plays right back. Get him a handful. And if it's not working at half time, you can always change it.
That's it. And if you're not sure about him, you're not sure about Trossard, then you've also got Smith Rowe. He's been chomping at the bit in training.
He's been doing well, but he's hardly started though.
I know, but sometimes in big games, you need big characters.
I know, and he's a big character. Because I remember when Arteta the first game to Arsenal, he kind of saved Arteta, you know.
No, he 100% saved Arteta.
He scored 10 goals. I think it was 10 goals. I was watching his goals the other day. Some of the finishes he was doing before he got that injury. That injury kind of messed him up badly, man. I hope he can get back his form. We're going to need him for the Champions League.
We're going to need a whole squad for the run-in because right now, one of the biggest things Arteta needs to show is that he's learned about squad rotation. I think I'm really happy with how he's handled Kivior and bringing him in and giving him minutes and getting him up to speed now.
Yeah.
So that even if we need to, we can rest Gabriel. Kivior can start centre-back. Obviously, right now he's playing left-back and doing a really great job. So we've got that. And obviously, we're getting players like Timber. They're in training. Tomiyasu's back. So the squad's getting bolstered out, but he has to rotate it well. Like Partey owes us the next 3 months fully fit.
Yeah,
he owes us that.
100%.
Without, like, I don't want to hear no excuses. That man cannot get injured again.
No, definitely not.
Timber, I don't mind if he plays some minutes, great. If he doesn't, it is what it is. But
next season for him.
Tomiyasu owes us not getting injured again. Zinchenko owes us a keen bit of help rest season. Say Jesus owes us the rest of the season without any more niggles. Like these players need to step it up big time.
I'm not really fighting. A lot of them are playing for their future now. End of the season. The club have got to make a decision on certain players who to keep. I know they signed Tomiyasu to a new contract, But like, I think the reason I did that was just the value.
I think it's value. Also, I think it's the versatility of the player. He can play centre back, he can play on both defensive sides.
Mm.
I think that what you're looking at with our team is we've got players that can cover multiple positions
yeah.
rather than have multiple players. So, yeah, I think Partey, we'll see what they do. I think, you know, there's lots of rumours about who we could get to bring in to replace him. There's talk of Onana, there's talk of other players. So we'll see with that. There's always been talk of other midfielders that we're looking at. Obviously, up front, there's always talk about a striker. We know that we need to have wing cover for a long time. We looked at Pedro Neto previous seasons. We'll see what we do. There's work to be done.
I think players will be sold in the summer, though. I think a lot 100%. Of players will be sold,
yeah. We just hope it's not our favourites.
Same.
You know, we don't want to lose Smith Rowe, but if he has to go, it is what it is.
Bryce Nelson, isn't, I heard he's been linked with Brighton as well.
I think he needs to move on because to me, he's not kicked on enough. And whether that's, you could argue lack of opportunity, which is a fair argument to make.
Mm.
But I've seen him in games this year and he's just not grasped the chance he's been given. Last season, I think he did much better with his cameos off the bench. He looked a lot more hungry, a lot more up for the fight. This season, I've not seen it enough. And Nketiah is another one as well, I think is at risk. But
I think Nketiah is going to be gone in the summer.
Yeah,
he comes, is that age now where he needs to be playing football, regular football? He can't be sitting at the bench at a big club.
He does, and I think both of them is the same problem. It's like you bring him off the bench and I'm not seeing enough. Mm. Like I'm seeing players that have been on the pitch for 80 minutes out sprinting you and I'm seeing Nketiah jogging. Like I don't want to see you walking and jogging when you've come on the pitch for 5 minutes. Like it's only 5 minutes, but you could make something happen.
Definitely.
So to have that attitude, don't think, oh, it's only 5 minutes, I'm going to get 5 minutes. No, in 5 minutes, okay, I could get the ball back, I could try. Mm. Like I could get the ball like 35 yards out, have a look and just have a dig. And if the keeper's not expecting it.
Mm. But I feel like them guys owe us a big performance between now and the season. I feel that if they don't, in the summer, get what, I think we could get 40 million for Nketiah or 40, 50 for Nketiah, 40 million for Reece Nelson. We can get,
I don't know about the 40 for Reece. I think you've got to be realistic in 30? Terms of like how much minutes they've played and impact. So if we get 30, that might be all right. 30, 35, that could be good. Nketiah, you'd want 40, but it just depends on the market. And if you don't have enough clubs coming for him, then you might have to adjust your numbers. And if you look at the fact they've not played as much as well, and that's the biggest issue.
Damn,
if you
players.
Want to sell players, you've got to get the value up. Look at how much money we got for Leno as I started off. Look at how much money we ended up getting
for Balogun.
It was okay, but it could have been more.
Imagine, look at Balogun scored a lot of goals for us for that.
For Rennes.
And look, let's compare something. Balogun went for 30, was it 40 million he went for? Or 35?
I think 35.
And they bought Ramos Holt, that striker from Man United, went for like 70 odd million. And if you compare the both of them,
But you also got to take into account, like, a better comparison would be like comparing two players that have been sold out rather than like from Premier League to Europe. Obviously, Man United spent stupid money on Højlund, and he's a good player, but it's too much money for him.
Mm.
And Man United are stupid using their money anyway. So I think a better comparison would be looking at two clubs, like looking at how Liverpool have sold players like Solanke and how Man City sell some of their other younger talents versus what we do. That's a better comparison.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's just like we don't always get value for money with our players. And that's another thing as well in the summer, Eddie will have to do a better job of, because if he doesn't, then, you know, it's going to affect what we can do.
Definitely. I think the best money we got for a player from Arsenal was when we sold Chamberlain to Liverpool.
That was great money.
That was great money.
Guy never stay fit.
We got great money for him, but that's the only one in a long time. All the other players that we got, we've got them on free left on free transfers, or we cancelled their contract. So we've got to do better with selling. I think in the summer, I heard that Arsenal are going to revamp the academy. They're looking to buy in players and then
sell
them on.
We've already started to buy in some players. Yeah,
so they're looking to bring in like more youth players and sell them on for a profit, like what Man City are doing. And we're looking to improve our finances as well with the new state, the new the training ground with the sponsorship, trying to earn more money and trying to get more revenue up and all that. So I think the revenue we've got, the longer we're in the Champions League, if we get a Champions for the next 10 more years, the revenue will definitely go back up again.
I agree, but you know what the best thing is to help with that?
What?
Win a trophy.
100%.
You know, there's two up for grabs for us this season.
Mm.
And if we can get one or both, that will go a long way towards changing that narrative.
Well, which one would you want more, Premier League or Champions League?
That's like asking which of my kids do I prefer. Like, I don't even have kids yet. We have won a Champions League.
Yeah.
So, because we haven't done it before, I'd want to do it. Especially the run we'd have to go to win it.
Mm.
We'd have to play potentially one of Man City or Real Madrid.
Yeah.
So, like, to win it, having beaten two either one of the previous winners in the last few years, yeah, that would be the one. Obviously, the league would be great. You know, I would love a double, but if you're telling me to choose between one or two, I would pick the Champions League. Because I think as much as winning the league right now in the 20th anniversary of the Invincible season would be so fitting, I feel like to achieve the one thing the Invincibles failed at in their anniversary year
would make
a way better story. And then it will give us impetus for next year for this league season. Because then you're like, okay, cool. Especially if we only miss out on the league by like 1 or 2 points, which is, you know, how things are. That's not an impossibility. But yeah, that's what I would go for. Which one would you pick?
Champions League. It's at Wembley, right on our home.
We don't lose at Wembley.
We haven't lost at Wembley. Our record at Wembley is a good record. And I honestly fancy we could beat Bayern Munich. We owe Bayern Munich a big result. And against Man City, two legs, I think we could beat Man City or Real Madrid. We beat Real Madrid in the Bernabeu before. Freak Henry. And I feel like this would be Gabriel Jesus' season. Because he does well in Europe, Gabriel Jesus. If he can stay fit, this is his tournament to do it. So I would say I'd rather win the Champions League. You can win the league. Winning the league is good, don't get me wrong.
Winning the league is hard. It's been a long time. It's been 20 years. Like,
but winning the Champions League, we'll have one off on Chelsea as well. We could say they're 2-1. And they'll stop talking. And then fans, like the Nottingham Forest fans, will stop saying, how many Champions League have you won?
No, but Chelsea have 2 Champions League, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'd have, oh yeah, I said 2-1, yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see what we end up doing. I mean, ideally a double. We love doubles at the Arsenal, so that would be great. But if not, yeah, we'll take the hoops and then we will push the Premier League next season. I know we'll push for a clean sweep next season, but we'll see how it goes. I think we'll call it there.
Okay.
And we'll be back again next week with our reaction to that massive blockbuster game. Hopefully, well, you'll hear our takes. Good news or bad, you'll hear our takes. Believing for the best. And we'll see you all next time.
Peace.